What do the recent sexually charged comments by the Bachelorette tell us about sexual atheism in the church? Taylor Swift wants you to calm down, and Madonna says Jesus is pro-baby murder? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And today we have, I want to say, a wild story when it comes to the recent comments on The Bachelorette. Now, I'm going to just give you, full disclosure here. I do not watch The Bachelorette. I have never seen a single episode of the show. But nonetheless, for some reason, those even within the church think that The Bachelorette is kosher. It's fine to watch, even though it's literally people just, speed dating and having sexually charged relationships. But nonetheless, in the Christian realm, there's been a lot of recent stories about some comments that were made. And I believe that these comments are not simply just for her, just for the woman who made these statements, just for The Bachelorette. I believe these comments are far too common within the Christian realm because of false teaching. I believe wholeheartedly, and recently on the Good Fight Radio Show, we did an entire two episodes on covering the topic of what is the most dangerous lie being taught in the church. And I believe, and we believe as a group, that that is easy beliefism. This idea that you can just come in, you had a philosophical thought that Jesus is the right way, that God raised him from the dead, and after having that thought in your mind and in your heart and saying a prayer, you're therefore saved. And you are completely, you can just live however you want. And I believe wholeheartedly that Scripture tells us that not only is false doctrine, but it's dangerous. It is very, very dangerous. And I believe the entire doctrine is demonic. It's not just simply one of those things that, hey, we just have a different viewpoint. No, I believe this is sending more people to hell that are sitting down self-deceived in churches than any doctrine that is out there, than any false doctrine that is out there. And I believe the comments made on The Bachelorette are simply a microcosm of a giant problem that is in the church that we need to talk to, that we need to talk about, that we need to have an open discussion about this, because it is a problem. If these are your views concerning Christianity, if these are your views in terms of being a blood-bought believer, we need to have a conversation. Okay, we need to have a talk. You want to talk about why do young people fall away? Why do people no longer go to church after they leave? Because they believe nonsense like this poor young girl. And that is exactly what she is. The Bible calls her in the book of James self-deceived. She is self-deceived. Be not merely hearers of the word, but doers also, not deceiving one's selves, okay? You do not want to be self-deceived on this issue, okay? You see, The Bachelorette, and this was really, I guess it was like a big scene because they ended up having her on Entertainment Weekly to talk about what took place and what transpired in a conversation in which one of the guys on the show claims to be a believer. I believe his name is Luke. And he asked her, and actually basically he told her, listen, if you're sleeping around with a bunch of people, okay, I would want to go home, okay? Because let's have a talk about the marriage bed and that it should be pure. And we need to have a talk because if you want to sleep around other people, I would rather go home, okay? And this is what she said, okay? And I quote, regardless of anything that I've done, I can do whatever. I sin daily and Jesus loves me. It's all washed. And if the Lord doesn't judge me and it's all forgiven, then no other man, woman, or anything can judge me. Nobody's going to judge me. I won't stand for it. You know, it's really, really sad. Not only that, but in the promo for the show, the guy drives off and she flips him off as he's driving away. Because, of course, people are going to be upset with who? The woman or the guy? For asking and saying, hey, I want the marriage bed undefiled. If you're going to sleep with other guys on the show, we should probably not be together because I'd prefer it wasn't like this. And I don't know the man's heart. I don't know. But just by those comments alone, is that what I'm going to judge off? Okay, who do you think the internet, who do you think the Twitter memes were made about? Who do you think the support was thrown towards? The woman who said, well, I'm going to sleep with whoever I want. Or the guy who said, hey, I'd prefer if you didn't sleep around. Oh, of course the world would support the lasciviousness. Of course the world would say, oh yes, that's right, only God will judge me. You know, I thought about this meme that I've seen quite a few times online, and it's a picture from one of the guys from, I believe, Jersey Shore, and it says on the top, you know, only God can judge me, and the dude's like screaming, and he's like, that should scare you. It should scare you, okay? Because our God is a consuming fire, all right? When it comes to sin, he is serious. The Bible says that our sin separates us from our God. And this is what she said. She said, quote, my faith, that is a big, huge part of me. And a lot of times people get Christianity and religion messed up. Your faith should be something personal and a relationship, and it's not to judge others. I want to try to find the relationship with Jesus that is merely personal and not public. I want to find the marriage that is merely personal and not public. That you come in covenant with someone and you want to hide them away. You come in covenant with someone and you don't want to tell anyone about that relationship. It should just be personal. It should just be private. I'm going to tell you this. If somebody came up to me and asked me about my relationship with my wife, and I said, regardless of anything I've done or whatever I do, I cheat on her daily. And she still loves me. It's all washed. She forgives me, even though I just continue to go out in there and sin. You are coming in covenant. That is what happens when you give your life to Jesus. That is what happens when he becomes the Lord of your life. You go in covenant with him. He gives you a betrothal, okay? You are engaged to him. You start sleeping around with other gods. This is a fact. When you read the scriptures, this is not there. This is nonsense. Read over and over the conduct worthy of a believer that we are supposed to walk in, to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. That is what the Bible is so utterly clear on. You cannot read any of the epistles. You cannot read the gospels. You cannot read those things and come out thinking, everything's just fine. I'm going to live however I want. That is simply unbiblical. And I would say it's biblical illiteracy, but I believe it's biblical ignorance. I do not believe this young lady has done anything in terms of reading through the New Testament or the Old Testament specifically, but I don't even got to get to that. I don't believe that she could have sat down and read through the New Testament and come out with that. I don't believe anyone could. They have to be taught this, and it's absolute rubbish, and it's warned about so specifically in scriptures. In fact, this is something that Jude, okay, in the book of Jude, that little epistle right before Revelation, that Jude literally wanted to write about our common salvation. That's what he wanted to write about. But he said, guess what, this in verses 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Okay? And what is that faith? What is he worried about? What is he concerned with? Verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who have long beforehand been marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, or a license to sin, and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Pharisaical way, and a lot of people say, oh, you're a Pharisee. No, the Pharisaical way, when it comes to your relationship is that you are close to him with your lips, but your heart is far from him, that you are a whitewashed tomb, that you call out and say, oh, I'm a believer in Jesus, but yet walk in darkness. You know what it calls you in 1 John? You are a liar. That is what 1 John says. And in fact, that's what John says. Okay, that is the one who sat at the bosom of Jesus, who said the message that they heard from him, that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If you walk in darkness and say that you have him, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. That is from John, and he is so specific. And those who have been marked out for condemnation are those who trade the grace of God for a license. If you're telling me that this young lady on the Bachelorette doesn't think she has the license as she talks about sleeping with other people, and saying, well, I'm covered, everything's good, you're lying to yourself. And if you're a grace teacher, a grace changer, if you're a hyper grace teacher, and you say that you're still building people up and that they're still wanting not to do sin, wanting not to follow in sin, I'm telling you right now, this is a giant billboard for you, seen by millions of people, letting you know that this is the nonsense you are calling people to walk in. And what has happened in the church? I did an article a couple of years ago, I've done three concerning 50 Shades of Grey. And the first article I wrote was called 50 Shades of Sin. The second one was 50 Shades Darker, I believe, 50 Shades of Darker Sin or Darker in Sin. And then the third one is 50 Shades of Bondage. Okay. And one of the things that I pointed out was a survey that was done. And I'm going to read from that article to you. And in that survey, it said this. It says, the study done by ChristianMingle.com in conjunction with JDate, a Jewish website for dating, has shown that a spiritual malaise has certainly happened in the Christian dating realm. While not all the results from the survey come from professing Christians, the questions range from, would you break up with someone because of their pet, to would you have sex before marriage? Here are some of the staggering results. 92% of men said they would have sex before marriage. 81% of women said they would have sex before marriage. 93% of men said they would move in before marriage. And 82% of women said they would move in before marriage. With those grotesque numbers on display, one cannot help but think of Luke 6:46, where Jesus tells us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Or Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It is not simply the stumbling upon sin. Jesus warned in Luke 17 that stumbling is unavoidable. James 3:2, the same person who said faith without works is dead is the same person who says we all stumble, we, including himself in that, we all stumble in many ways. There's a difference between stumbling and practicing. And I want to point out, and I have to point this out from a doctrinal perspective, okay? The Matthew 7:21-23, the 1 John 2:19, okay? These people went out from them because they were never of them. These people who practice lawlessness, they never knew Jesus. They never knew the Father. Okay? That is far different than the James 5:19-20s. The brethren who fall away and their soul is saved from death. It is far different than the unmerciful servant who's forgiven his debt and then thrown back into bondage when he is unforgiving. It is far different than the warning in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 of brethren, the sinful, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. These are different people. I believe this girl is a never knew you kind of girl. I don't believe she ever truly knew the true Jesus. Because here's the difference between the true grace of God. People want to talk about grace. The true grace of God enables. The true grace of God is power. The true grace of God does not simply make you the same old dead person you were before. The true grace of God turns you into a slave of sin to a slave of righteousness. The true grace of God turns you into a new creation that now has the benefits of the Holy Spirit living inside of them, so they are enabled to practice righteousness. Yes, they will stumble. Yes, they will mess up. And 1 John 2, and I will quote this, I don't care if I quote it every show, okay? 1 John 2, what is the reason for his writing that letter? He says that you may not sin. But when you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We want to preach in a way that warns people of sin, okay? And sadly, these people in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, who Jesus says he never knew, those people were practicing things. They were casting out demons. I doubt this girl has cast out any demons. She was they were prophesying. They were doing miracles. I doubt that's what was going on. And yet he said, I never knew you. That's really dangerous. But also remember this, guys. When it comes to sexual sin, Jesus didn't mess around. Jesus didn't toy with it. Jesus spoke right to the heart of the matter. Check this out. A lot of people like to quote the Sermon on the Mount. Let's quote it. Matthew 5, 27 through 30. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman and lusts after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown in hell. If your right eye, if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off, throw it from you. For it is better that you lose one of the body parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You see that? He is calling for a grace that enables. He is calling for us to turn from sin. And he's so serious about it that he uses the language of plucking out your eye and cutting off your hand. He doesn't say, don't worry, I'm going to pay for it in a little bit. I'm going to go on that cross. I'm going to die. And then you can go back into sleeping with whoever you want. You can go move in with whoever you want. You can do all these horrible things, sin daily, and everything's going to be fine. No, he says, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye. Sin is serious and it will kill you. If these things are hindering you, if you are not able to grow closer to the Lord, get these things out of your life. Okay, throw away your computer. It is not worth it. Throw away your cell phone. Take the internet capabilities off of it. Okay, I remember when I came to the Lord, okay, and I was a promiscuous dirtbag, all right? Let me just call it what it is. And when I came to the Lord, I knew that I had to make certain boundaries in my life or that old man would rear his ugly head. And the Bible says to render him dead. It's not Weekend at Bernie's and he's hanging out with you with his glasses on. Render that thing dead. Don't have it in your life. And I remember going to my cell phone and deleting my contacts, except for my family members and the people around me that I just met at church for my first time and my friends that I was hanging out with that were believers now. And I remember deleting all those numbers and saying, I'm not going to answer these people. I was cutting off my hand at that point. And don't get me wrong, it's not easy. In fact, John 15 tells us of the fruit-bearing believer, okay? It already tells us if you don't bear fruit as a quote-unquote believer, guess what? He will cut you off of the branch you are a part of and throw you into the fire. Not your works, you. I'm the vine, you're the branches, okay? He'll cut you off. And if you are bearing fruit, he will prune you. He will cut off those pieces in your life. That's the sanctification. That's a process. Justification happens, boom, because Jesus died. But sanctification is a process by way he grows us more and more like Jesus. Your predestination in Ephesians chapter 1 is that you will be like Jesus, that you would be conformed to the image of his son, that you would be just like him, that you would grow more and more like him as you grow. That is the promise of salvation. It's not a weak salvation. It's not a cowardly salvation. It isn't a salvation that makes you look like the world. You are a blood-bought believer. You are a royal, a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood to your God. That is what you become when you know Jesus. The gospel is power. It is not a philosophy. And in that power, it doesn't say go back and sin like the devil. No, it says follow him. He gives us that ability. That is the true grace of God. Not only that we would be saved, but that he would enable us and save us for good works. When you are saved by grace through faith, as it says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says you are his workmanship, made for good works. That is what you do. You follow Jesus. You recognize that, guess what? He is Lord. He is good. He is our God. And you know what's interesting is this doesn't just befall. Imagine when the church is acting like this, how do you expect the world to act? You know, and recently Taylor Swift, you know, she wants you and wrote a new song called You Need to Calm Down. You need to calm down. Do you know who Taylor Swift is talking to you? Talking to? Guess I gave it away. She's talking to you. You need to calm down. Calm down about what? Calm down about what? Well, in her video, she makes it abundantly clear. She starts it off in a trailer park that she burns her own trailer to the ground after drinking a martini and I believe a fur coat and a bikini, which is kind of an odd mix there. But nonetheless, she then goes out and is hanging out with trannies and hanging out with, at gay weddings and whatnot. And what else is there? Of course, a bunch of hillbillies, okay? A bunch of hillbillies. She tries to make herself look great and makes all of the practicing homosexuals and, you know, the giant men twerking in rainbow colors. She tries to make them seem like, you know, the enlightened ones. And it's these trailer park losers who just don't understand. And I say that because that's how she dresses them as. And she has them try to look stupid. Okay, she has them write a sign. They have signs and they're picketing against the gay marriage there in the trailer park. And one of the signs says, "Don't be a moron." But of course, what does she do? She makes sure that they spell moron wrong. All right? Because she's going to say, guess what? Those who say the following things are the real morons. Because there's other signs. One sign says, "Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." And the other one says, "Homosexuality is a sin." Interesting that Taylor Swift would have this in that video. And after you read and see these hillbillies, there ain't nothing wrong with hillbillies, by the way. I like me some hillbilly, all right? But she's trying to make it out is these are the dummies. These are the ones that are the true morons, those who would hold up signs that say homosexuality is a sin. And the truth is, that's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, Romans chapter 1. You can go with Leviticus. I mean, we could go through text after text. So really, first it's the Christians are the really stupid people. But then the fact is that she's saying that God is. Because that's what the Bible says. And you know who wrote the Bible? God himself. And said, in fact, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that the word of God is theanoustos, God breathed. Every single scripture is God breathed onto paper. Inasmuch as you or I may type something on my computer and it comes out, or I write something down on this piece of paper, it says that is exactly, okay, the analogous to God using holy men or writing God's word. That he used those people, and just as much as I am the mind behind what is written on my computer, God is the mind behind what is written in scripture. So when somebody simply makes fun of and tries to demean those who would come out against sin. And it isn't, guys, this is one huge thing. It is far different being somebody who hates homosexuals for the purpose of hating homosexuals, okay? It's far different being the one with the giant plank in your eye as you try to remove the speck out of someone else's eye. That is far, far different than a biblical view of Christianity, a biblical view of homosexuality actually being a sin. Okay, and don't get me wrong, I have literally seen that, I believe, in the clearest form of action. I remember talking to somebody who was literally with their girlfriend who they were going to go home and sleep with, okay? And he said, "I heard that this person that we both knew is a homosexual, so guess what? They're going to hell, Chad." And he was drunk, about to go sleep with his girlfriend as he told me that. That is the log and the spect analogy in full force, okay? So there are people like that. Let's not act like those people don't exist. Those liars, the drunkards, all right? The, you know, the guys who were like Jimmy Swaggart, the Romans 2 warning. You say do not lie, but you lie. You say do not steal, but you steal. These people that are practicing sin and then calling these people out. People like Steven Anderson, who have so much hate in their heart that he's not becoming of a believer. And he goes out and says he wants, if he had a button, he'd love to press it to kill all the homosexuals off. Even though 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 that warns about those sins also tells us what? Such were some of you. Okay, so we know that these people were practicing sin such as homosexuality, and yet such were some of you, because that's the grace of God. That's the power of the gospel, is that he can change us. That is the power of the gospel. It is clear in scripture. That is the power. But don't think that Taylor Swift's the only one. You know, in that video, before I get to my last person I want to mention in here, in that video, at the end of it, she comes together and she's fries, like dressed up as a basket of fries, and Katy Perry's dressed up as a hamburger. And they come and hug, and you think they're going to kiss, but they end up not kissing, which is a surprise considering Katy Perry was made famous by coming out with the song, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, okay? But Katy Perry, if you want to, oh, it's just being sweet and nice. No. Let's make sure we understand they're trying innuendo here. Okay, they're trying to say, oh, these two women can go together just like, you know, fries and a hamburger. Because she retweeted the picture of them together from the video. And she said, quote, this meal is beef free, capitalizing beef in all letters. Obviously a sexual innuendo and disgusting display of somebody who is reprobate, of someone who grew up trying to make money off of Christian albums, and then by her own words, quote, I sold my soul to the devil. But nonetheless, she's not the only one out there talking nonsense. Madonna recently came out and said that Jesus is actually pro-abortion. She said she'd love to talk to the Pope and change the Catholics' view on abortion. Quote, let's talk about Jesus's point of view about women. Let's talk about it. Don't you think Jesus would agree that a woman has the right to choose what to do with her body? Sadly, her comments are not that far off from the Bachelorette's comments, because ultimately it comes from Satan. Because ultimately it's do what thou wilt theology, just like Satanist Aleister Crowley. You can just do what you want. Now Madonna and Katy Perry and them may live like there's, because they've built together a false god, they've created an idol. Taylor Swift, you know, she's gone from teardrops on my guitar to bringing tears to the feet of Jesus. That's the true story. That's the sad thing. Madonna talking about how she'd love to change the view and what Jesus' views, but you can watch our video, they sold their souls to rock and roll, and see Madonna literally having an entire crowd chant, quote, I don't give a blank if I go to hell. Yeah, I don't think Jesus is pro-baby murder. No, I don't even, forget think. I know Jesus ain't pro-baby murder. That's nonsense. And guess what? You're not, it's not your body. It's not your body that's inside. That's a baby. That's a human being that's being murdered. Let's be serious about this. Okay, let's be serious about our walks with Christ. Let's make sure that we recognize we don't want a theology that mirrors Satanism. Okay, we want a theology that mirrors the Bible. One of the theology of self-sacrifice that counts the cost to see if we have enough to finish the job. That's the biblical Christianity. Do you have enough to finish the job? Are you walking in the power of the gospel? Are you an overcomer? Because that is what the Bible says. We are not like the world. We do not do the things of the world. 1 Peter 4:3 says that they marvel at you that you do not run in the same dissipations, their drinking parties and abominable idolatries. Because you don't run like those things, they marvel at you. And what does that cause them to do? Ask the question, why do you have such a hope? Because those things are fruitless. They're a vapor. They will go away. I'll leave you with these words from Ecclesiastes 11:9. Because if you want to follow your heart, he's going to tell us to follow our heart. But remember this part. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Watch how you walk. And then the grace of God is not simply so you could sin. It's to enable you to follow in righteousness. We thank you so much for joining us for the 511 News. This has been Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. Pray that you are active in sharing your faith so you have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. God bless.